More from the people. 410-583-1057. As we sit here at 4 o'clock, the only thing we know for sure is that Todd Monken has gotten an interview request from the Cleveland Browns. As far as the Ravens coaching staff or front office, we know nothing as of yet. And the Ravens have not put out an announcement as to when there'll be a press conference or any of the sort. So we wait, but we want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Let's go to Dave. Dave, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, gentlemen, I hope they keep us in the loop. Oh, I shouldn't have said loop. Okay, we have a Super Bowl with Harbaugh because of a blown coverage in Denver on a Hail Mary pass, or he don't have nothing.
He still has it. They don't take this trophy away.
Right? I don't know that we can play that game.
Let me give you this. You remember 2000 was a 17. The Bengals came here. All we had to do was win that last game. We're in the playoffs, and they came here and beat us. I told people that night, the Ravens are a little over 500 since Ray Lewis days and Super Bowl days. Harbaugh is stale. Time to go. Now, let me give you a scenario. Andy Reid, bunch of championship games with Philly. Then he loses the Super Bowl. It's time to depart.
Oh, Jason's brought that up. Yeah.
Okay. And look what Philly's done. Three Super Bowls, two wins.
Yes.
Two different quarterbacks, two different head coaches. Why are we afraid to make changes?
I appreciate the
call. Because the billionaire is more interested in counting his money than trying to deliver you another Lombardi trophy.
Yeah, I agree with the caller's overall point, but you can't take away the fact you won a Super Bowl.
No style points. Yeah.
And you can play it so many different Lee Evans drops the ball, Billy Cundiff kicks it and ties it. Like, there's so many. You can play that game with so many games.
Ron's in Owings Mills. He's on the Fan.
Kenny, Jason, Barbalache, thanks for taking my call. The interview John Harbaugh did before the year with the Ravens website people.
Super Bowl or bust.
We played the hell out of it. Somebody latched onto it around here and beat the hell out of it.
When he said it's phony, Super Bowl, like after he got the contract extension and he went on there and said that.
Yeah.
Do you know how insulting that was to me?
I think we do. We play it all the time. We're going to play it tomorrow. He's still here.
I still can't believe after you get an extension for you to come on there and say anybody with that mindset, it's like, are you kidding me? And so like two things can be true. Tyler Loop should have made the kick. You could have also made it an easier kick for him. Yeah. Okay. The Titans game. This isn't Little League. It's not Johnny's turn. Derrick Henry has to be on the field. It's a glimpse into his mindset. The game is moving too fast for John. This isn't Little League, Ken. You have to get Derrick Henry on the field. This is nonsense what's been going on. And I don't think hiring Jerry Rosberg to be game management coach is going to fix their problems. They could hire me, but I don't want their job because they don't listen. They're stubborn. Jason is 100% correct. Yes. Jason, you are so right about what's going on. I have to give you a lot of credit. And they are going to choke again next year if they don't get rid of this coach at least. Thanks,
appreciate the call.
No, I mean, again, they're so over-empowered and so full of their own fake mythology and their own BS that the GM could come out when the Bills are trying to get ahead of a Josh Allen deal and tell you, this isn't a big offseason for me. Leave me alone. Let me watch these safeties. I got more. Next offseason's a big one. This isn't. And then he follows up by treating it like he's got the best roster in football. Mm-hmm. And then the coach kicks off the season by saying, Super Bowl or bust is for you idiots who don't know anything about you.
You've never played the game.
And most people let that stuff fly. We bring it back all the time because it is a window and portal into their football soul, which is complacent and dead.
Yeah, like if you're John, embrace it. Hey, yeah, we have a damn good roster. We've been really close the past couple of years. We're trying to win a Super Bowl. Embrace the expectation, right?
Yeah.
That's why you're coaching. That's why you're here.
410-583-1057. Josh is in Odenton. Josh, you're on the Fan.
Hey, I'm not going to call and complain like the other guys. I'm a Steelers fan, unfortunately. I did not stay up and watch the game because I thought we were going to lose. So I went to sleep.
No.
But my thought is, what if this is Harbaugh's last year and he already told the team and the team already knows that he's leaving this year?
Well, I think if that were the case, we'd get an announcement.
I think it would have been a lickety split.
Yeah. If the head coach wants out, that, Jason, you have history in this. We would have heard about that yesterday.
Yeah. Where John is free to pursue other options and whatever. I mean, no, I don't think it's that. No, I don't think it's that. They've got a lot to sort out. Like he's, I think at least a part of him still wants to be here, but they want a lot of people under him out of the building. And maybe some of them he wants gone and maybe some of them he doesn't want gone. You know, and maybe he'll have the gumption this time. I mean, I know he's a paid, made man. Maybe he'll have the gumption to say, well, what's happening down the hallway?
Yeah.
Is it the same dudes who, did we add anybody on a Tuesday, a workout list? Did we add anybody from the waiver wire made us better this year? Did we add anybody in the offseason in free agency or trades who truly made us better this year? Like, what changes over there?
410-583-1057. Marcus is in Baltimore. Marcus, you're on the Fan.
Yes, this is Marcus from Baltimore.
What's up, Marcus?
Tell Steve just go ahead and sell the team.
There you go.
We haven't heard from him in forever. Tell him just go ahead and sell the team. He don't want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Just sell it.
Yeah.
Just sell it. I'm done with Eric. I'm done with John. Zach got to go. Like, yeah. What is it going to take?
What?
And question. What would it take for us to get Max Crosby from the Raiders?
Appreciate the call. First round pick, maybe?
Two and a four? They'll probably want more than that. I mean, they'll probably want a Michael Parsons type thing.
But I think to the caller's question, like, what is it going to take? Because.
What is your appetite for losing?
More than likely, this team entering 2026 is not going to have anywhere close to the expectations that they had heading into 2025, and they finished with a losing record. Like what would it take if nothing happens?
It really shows.
This guy doesn't. How many times we've had people calling in for hardball jobs for years.
Yeah.
And the first thing out of my mouth is this billionaire does not want to get on a plane and fly all over the country and talk to 35-year-olds who he's going to have to pay more than he thinks they're worth to replace a guy who he's comfortable with. He ain't up for the fight.
He does like
he don't even want to show his face in public. He doesn't owe you an explanation. He, until proven otherwise, he ain't going to cash over cap every year. That's a lie. He ain't going to be in the top 10 in spending every year. He ain't going to pay for outside free agents. And he's not going to break up his little boys club there where they can run it and I can stay on my boat and I can count my money. I'm going to make between $150, $250 million every year, whether I'm $5 over the cap or $50 million under it. He don't. Prove me wrong, Silent Steve. Come out of your hole. Come talk to your customers.
Cool C, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, guys?
Yes, hey. Sir.
Okay, so ESPN broke down, Orlovsky broke down the kick by Lou. I don't know if you saw the slides.
Yeah, where he didn't have his head.
He made three extra points and a 40-plus yard field goal. Everyone. He just kicked one 2 minutes before that, right? The extra point, right down the heart, right down the middle. Everyone. He had the head down. Watching the foot hit the ball. Everyone, perfect motion. So the final kick, it's like a golfer lifting it to hit the ball. Before he even made contact, the head was coming up in the air looking to watch the kick, and he shanked it right. Completely got out of the routine on the final kick. It cost him the game. It's unbelievable. Now, look, the guy that said, we're the Ravens, we're not the Browns. Well, guess what? Without Lamar Jackson, we are the Browns without a defense.
Yeah,
that's what we are. If we were
there's no
Lamar
doubt about
Jackson.
That. Yeah.
Okay, and you know where Lamar ranks in payroll? Everybody's complaining about his payroll. He's 10th in the league in payroll. Tua makes more. Goff makes more. Love makes more. Lawrence
well, that's about
makes
to change,
more.
But yes.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And they're all complaining about Lamar's salary. So don't even think about it. He should be the highest paid salary in the league, and he will be when they renegotiate this thing. Because we're the Browns without a defense without him. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Jason, you said it. They win 4 to 5 games if he's not playing.
Oh, the Snoop people get their way. You'll have fun with that.
Remember, they didn't want Snoop.
No.
No one wanted Snoop. Yeah. Snoop was in Cleveland as the fifth quarterback. Yeah.
Let's grab Jay in Baltimore. Jay, you're on the Fan. Jay?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey there.
How you guys doing today?
Hanging in there, brother. Hope you're well.
Yes. I listen to you guys every day on my way home.
Thank you.
Appreciate the great work, guys.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to push back just a little bit. Jason, I know you've been talking about DaCosta. I just want to point out that we did have the number one seed in 19. We had a great team in 23. We had a great team in 24. DaCosta put those groceries together, right? Now, John and some of the players have not executed, but I definitely think John has to go. The whole coaching staff has to go. But I would push back a little bit on DaCosta because, like you said, Shadi don't want to travel around the world to go look for another GM and coach. So I hear you. Give him the power to DaCosta. But DaCosta has made some pretty bad moves, but he's also made some great moves.
What do you think his best moves are? What do you think his hallmark transactions are?
I mean, drafting. I mean, who? Kyle Hamilton.
Okay.
Zay Flowers. He broke the curse of the Ravens wide receivers. And Bateman. I actually think Bateman is a good player who doesn't get the ball. Lamar, like you said, last year we were spreading all around. But this year it just seemed like it was Zay. When you got all these guys to throw it to, right? Now, I'm not saying that Bateman is a great player, but I think he could have duplicated the 700-800 yards that he had last year. I just think that sometimes we have favorites in our offense, and I don't think that should be that way. The defense is horrendous. But he drafted Madubuike. Nobody knew he was going to get injured. He drafted Kyle Hamilton. The Roquan Smith at the time was a good deal at the time. Now it's looking like it's being bad, but he also got Buchanan and Simpson. And I just feel like the coaching staff, look at the Dafe Owe. I feel like the coaching staff is at fault on offense and defense, and it falls on Harbaugh because he's the guy that hires these guys.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you for the phone call.
What do you think about what he said?
I mean, he got Kyle Hamilton pretty high for a Will linebacker.
He's 14th overall.
Zay, I mean, I don't think Zay's a number one receiver. I don't think Zay will ever be a number one receiver because I don't think Zay has the...
It's easily the best drafted receiver.
That's the best,
receiver.
But like, yeah, I mean, that's a good pick. Easily, like, it's a good pick, but the guy's been in charge 6 or 7 years and we're talking about a first round pick that worked out. Like, well, I mean...
Better.
After all the ones that didn't? After all the ones that didn't have their fifth year option picked up? I mean...
Well, whatever happens, one thing is for certain. It's time for the owner, Steve Bisciotti, to talk. He's got to talk. We'll explain next here on The Fan. The last time Steve Bisciotti spoke to the media, it was only four guys. It was at, an owner's meeting, and he famously said that Lamar Jackson doesn't think he deserves my money. So he hasn't spoken to the media at large since, 2018? Coming off an incredibly disappointing season, he's got to talk this offseason, does he not?
He doesn't have to do anything.
I know, but
he's made that abundantly clear. It's long overdue. It's shameful the way this organization conducts itself on a lot of matters, from the handing off of the baton from Dick Cass to Sasha Brown, from the whole Justin Tucker debacle. This guy didn't. When they finally Lamar Jackson, a top five player potentially at his position. And the history of the league, when it's all said and done, comes forward with a trade demand publicly. That didn't break this guy off the yacht. I mean, it is just think about all the things that have happened in this city and with this franchise since 2018. And he has fielded questions. Not that the media is any great. The media is the conduit to the fans. He thinks so little of you. And they operate with such arrogance, and they're so above the fray that he will steal your tickets, charge you more for worse tickets, and build a club for his billionaire buddies where you used to sit. He doesn't owe you an explanation for that.
This is such a pivotal moment in time in this franchise's history. Do they keep John Harbaugh? Do they not keep John Harbaugh? What happens to Eric DaCosta? If Eric DaCosta's here, how are they going to operate? How are they going to address the Lamar Jackson contract situation? Because that was a debacle the last time. And you're coming off, arguably, I don't even think it's arguably, the most disappointing year in franchise history. That all warrants Steve Bisciotti addressing the media and giving his message to the fan base. It has to happen. It doesn't have to, but it should happen. The caller just asked, if not now, when? If not now, when? When would we hear from him?
Because here's the reality. If he lets John go, he's got to explain why. If he keeps John,
he has to explain
why.
Doesn't have to.
I think he owes it to the fan. You're right. He doesn't have to.
But he's owed it for a long. I mean, think of all the stuff. He didn't owe it after this Justin Tucker thing.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
They're doing it to say they're dragging their already fading brand through the mud for this sleazeball because they want to save maybe Steve a couple million dollars if it gets really litigious. Like it's this is all ownership. I mean. They ain't who they think they are. That's all I'm going to say. And if he handles this the way I think he's going to handle it at this point, which is status quo, fire some coordinators. I don't even get off the yacht for it. Just remember that when they raise ticket prices, because they'll raise ticket prices.
There's going to be a lot of pissed off people, and rightfully so, if there's not substantial change. Because the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over.
But it's not insane
again.
For him because he's making more money than ever and his franchise is worth more money than ever. It's not insane to him. He doesn't have to deal with people he despises like these guys in the media who are beneath him. He's got his own in-house media to try to run counter to any reality or anybody who would push back. He doesn't make himself available because you're all beneath me. You don't have the money to sit in my suite anyway. Why do I owe you anything? And you're going to keep giving it to me. You gave me the lease. You're going to give me everything I want anyway.
But doesn't he want to win? Like, I've been told.
Does he want to win? He's got a strange way of showing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You want to win? Bring a couple million dollars in with somebody who's made a kick before in their life that matters anything and let him compete with that guy. I mean, you go get a pass rusher. Like, I mean, be in the building. Show up. Be around. Hold people accountable. Hold yourself accountable.
I think to your point, the accountability part, like, let's say he is competitive, but he entrusted people to make the decisions to make the roster good, and they're not making the right decisions. So, like, to your point, Eric DaCosta, who does not bring in pass rush, the offensive line has gone to shambles. Like, there should be some accountability there.
Well, I can judge him on his moves because he chooses not to speak. And they just in real time, 3 weeks ago, couldn't get a deal done with the guy they need long-term, likely.
Mm-hmm.
And so they rub his face in it with Mark Andrews getting a deal that, frankly, he didn't warrant, that nobody else would have given him. Teams don't operate that way. Real teams, winning teams, quality teams, teams that are business, not personal. Ravens are personal, not business. So it just happened. So what's changed? Why? What? They just showed you who they are. They just showed you. And then likely shows up and potentially saves their season. And the guy they paid, not because he warranted it, but to prove a message to the other guy, he keeps showing you what he is in every big game. You're a big game team, whether your coach, who looks like he maybe still going to be your coach, wants to admit it before season, you're going to be judged on big games. You need to find a way to elevate your whatever, red chip players to blue chip players or blue chip players to actually play to their contracts when it matters most. And your most recent moves are, we're gonna re-sign some run stuffers because the GM doesn't want to, whenever he does talk to me, they have to say, you got all the, oh, I've plugged some holes already. Look, I'm working. Gee, don't judge me by what I told you last offseason. I'm doing nothing. And he did nothing. He was true to that. He was watching safeties. Judge me on these middling things I'm doing. And they just paid the wrong guy. Again, why? Because it was easy. Because it could rub the other guy's face in it. And because they get off on this stuff. It makes them feel like they're tough guys. You're losers. I can tell you that. You lose big games. You lose big games. You build teams that blow more fourth quarter leads than anybody in the last 20 years of this league. You are losers.
Coming up next, will Steve Bisciotti talk? We will ask Kyle Goon, columnist for the Baltimore Banner, next here on The Fan. Ravens season is over. They cleaned out their lockers yesterday, and now we await a press conference of some sort from somebody as we're waiting an announcement to see what the coaching staff looks like, what everything looks like over at One Winning Drive. And let's talk to sports columnist from the Baltimore Banner, Kyle Goon, about all of this now. And Kyle, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So let's start with a place we just left our last segment, and that's Steve Bisciotti. He hasn't talked for a while, only talked to four people the last time he spoke. Do you feel like he's talking this offseason, and should he be talking this offseason?
You know, no indication yet on our end, but, I mean, absolutely he should be talking. I mean, I think it's – I wrote this before, you know, the Ravens even had a chance to go to the playoffs in Pittsburgh. But I just think when you think about a team that starts out with Super Bowl aspirations, everyone thinks, okay, it's their year – and then goes 8-9 and can't make the playoffs. I mean, I know some injuries happen, but I mean, come on. Like, these guys should be in the playoffs. The Steelers were not that good.
No.
You know, the bedrock of this franchise has been stability, doing things the Ravens way for so long. And John Harbaugh is obviously the second longest tenured head coach in the NFL. I just think, you know, whatever decision Steve makes, I think he needs to come out and defend it and explain why he thinks this is the best way forward for a franchise that had one of its most disappointing seasons in years.
Well, let's get to John Harbaugh, Kyle. And it seems like he has been on the hot seat, but will something actually happen there? Do you expect him back in 2026? And also, you were in Pittsburgh. What were your thoughts? Lamar Jackson, Ronnie Stanley, Derrick Henry, they were all asked if Harb should be back in 2026, and none of them gave him a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, I do think he will be back. I think you kind of look around the league and you see the openings that are available. And, you know, I think any of those teams, if John Harbaugh were to leave Baltimore, would happily snap him
Absolutely.
Up. And I think there has been reports about the New York Giants and because it's just hard to hire the right guy. I mean, we have, you know, coaches getting fired after 1 or 2 years now on the regular. You know, Pete Carroll, a potential Hall of Fame coach one day. I mean, he just got fired after 1 year. It's just so hard to get these hires right. And I've always kind of felt that because John has been in Baltimore so long, fans kind of don't really value sort of the high floor that he's brought over, you know, nearly two decades. But that being said, I mean, I just think that, you know, I don't know. We may be seeing sort of the page turning on John's era. I mean, I think he has kept this team competitive for a long time. I think this was the first time where you kind of think, okay, the process isn't all that good. I mean, you lose winnable games in Buffalo. You lose a winnable game against the Steelers at home, against the Patriots at home, and then obviously, you know, the other night in Pittsburgh. John just did not do well in close games, and a lot of that can be tied to coaching decisions.
You said process. I'm going to throw a different word at you. Culture. They love to rub their culture in people's faces, and they clearly, Ravens love them some Ravens, and they think they're a world-class organization, and they think stability, you know, is a hallmark, and it can be, but it could also turn to complacency. I feel like they have a culture problem. They got an owner who nobody sees in town, who's not in the building that much, who lives on a yacht, who hasn't deigned to speak to any sort of real questioning, like you know, not hand-picked questioning, in almost 8 years, the entirety of his quarterback's career. A quarterback who was a gift to this town, but also had to demand a trade publicly to get traded, to get paid last time. You had the Justin Tucker debacle. You've got Dick Cass leaving after basically running the thing for two decades. And he doesn't, you know, there's not even a press conference about that. Like, I feel like there's a leadership void. I think there's massive cultural issues within their organization. Does any of that resonate with you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's so much a void as you just have to wonder if the leaders in charge are at the top of their game. I mean, you know, 2 years ago, the Ravens are coming off an AFC championship. They beat some of the best teams in the league very soundly on the way to, you know, that AFC championship game and look very good. And, you know, we can relitigate the game itself.
Yep.
But John, you could argue at that time, John was at the top of his game. Eric DaCosta was at the top of his game. Then you kind of look at the coaching in this last season, you know, as I mentioned, losing some of these close games, and obviously the Ravens have led the NFL in blown two-score leads in the fourth quarter over the last 4 or 5 years. And Eric DaCosta, even though he's gotten some really good first-round picks, I mean, he's just not getting the value in the middle rounds. I mean, Trenton Simpson, you know, David Ojabo, you know, just guys that are just, you know, picks that have just not turned out into franchise-type players. You have your Tyler Linderbaums and Kyle Hamiltons, but the middle tier is not good. So I don't know if there's such a void, but just John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta have such outsized roles in the culture, defining it. If they are not at the top of their game, then the franchise, as you're sort of alluding, declines.
We're talking with Kyle Gunitz, Inside Access here on The Fan. You mentioned Eric. So where is his responsibility in this? That this team, we were concerned about their pass rush coming into the season. It was worse than we expected. They ran it back with the offensive line minus Pat McCary and two very poor reviews. Where does the man who buys the groceries take? How much responsibility does he take?
I mean, I definitely think he takes a big measure of responsibility. And to those points, I mean, I think the word I would use here is hubris.
Oh, yeah.
The pride of Eric DaCosta just sort of saying, you know what, we've had sort of a mid offensive line with Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, we can kind of get it done again. We've had these dime store pass rushers. We brought Jadeveon Clowney, Kyle Van Noy. These guys have led our pass rush, and we've had top two sack unit in two straight years. We can do it again. And obviously, both those things went terribly, terribly wrong. I mean, those were the weakest areas of the roster, was in the trenches. And if you look at how the Philadelphia Eagles won their Super Bowl, you know, it's kind of the opposite of what the football intelligence would suggest. So, I mean, it's odd because, you know, the previous two years, the sort of overlooking of those position groups didn't really hurt them, and now it finally came back to bite. I mean, I wrote two columns in consecutive trade deadlines that they're like, they didn't do enough to help their pass rush, and then they would finish top two in sacks. And so I'm sitting here thinking, am I the boy who cried wolf? And then finally this year comes back to bite. So I just think there's got to be a reevaluation of what did you take for granted? What did you think you could get away with? And in the future, as the salary cap becomes even tighter, can you still get away with some of those sins of omission?
Kyle, it's kind of funny. You mentioning all of that. I kind of see parallels between Eric DaCosta and Mike Elias.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember asking you this question months ago towards the end of the Orioles season. Is Mike capable of operating in a much different fashion? Well, I think the same question applies to Eric DaCosta. Is he capable of changing his philosophy where it's not all secondary? And they were dead last in spending an offensive line. They were 30th in spending along the edge. Eric DaCosta, following the first round, I'm paraphrasing here, but he was basically saying, guys, there's no point in trading
Nobody can make my roster.
There's no point in trading up. I don't see the value in doing that. Is Eric DaCosta capable of changing his stripes?
Here's the thing, and I'm never going to say no one is capable, but what the Orioles didn't have and the Ravens do is sort of this institutional track record. I mean, Eric studied at the feet of Ozzie Newsome, and this was how Ozzie did things, and, you know, Ozzie nailed his draft picks, and, you know, for all the Jonathan Ogdens and Ray Lewis's and Terrell Suggs and Ed Reed, those are the building blocks of, you know, 30 years of institutional success. And what I think is going to be harder for Eric than it was for Mike is, do we really turn away from that? And I agree with you. I mean, I just think adaptation is necessary. It's harder to pick on the individual decisions. If you look at what the guard market was, if you look at what the pass rusher market was this past free agency, it's harder to pick at those, oh, could you have gotten these guys? Well, some of those guards were terrible, and some of those pass rushers were terrible. But if you think about the philosophy, I mean, one thing that drives me nuts about what Eric did in the draft last year, he used all of his compensatory picks. There's like 11 picks,
of course,
total draft picks. Why do you need that? You don't need that. A bunch of those guys didn't make the team. A bunch of guys didn't affect. I mean, it's a veteran roster built now for success. Why do you need 11 draft picks? Why don't you package those things and start making trades? And even at the deadline, when you start trading picks, I mean, Draymond Jones, good player, you know, maybe your best pass rusher, but a half measure. It's not an all-out, okay, we're going in on this team, and there were reasons, you know, different schools of thought. But it's just, I don't know if Eric DaCosta is willing to part with the sort of franchise wisdom that has led to two Lombardi trophies and think, okay, this is a different era, this is a different team, I need to adapt to survive.
Well, it would be something if Ozzie found ways to do it without ever really having a quarterback for the most part, and then he hands Eric a top 10 all-time greatest quarterback, and now he can't do it. That would be something.
Yeah, well, I mean, these quarterback contracts, I don't want to excuse anything the Ravens have done, but these quarterback contracts are a blessing and a curse. I mean, look at the guys who signed deals the same year as Lamar. You know, the Cardinals are trying to get out of the Kyler Murray business. You know, Tua's...
Yeah, but those guys didn't deserve this money. Lamar does. That to me is apples and oranges.
That is true.
They didn't deserve it.
It's just interesting, the onus that those contracts place on franchises And it is just harder. You just have a narrow, narrow line for error to make some of those decisions. And the Ravens are just missing on some of those decisions more than they're making the right ones.
Kyle, you excited for the Orioles?
Heck yeah. I mean, yeah, I am. Like, yeah. I'm sort of excited to get down to Sarasota, you know, see the Pete Alonso thing. I mean, I think a guy like that is going to have a huge effect on the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's, you know, Jason, I know you as much as anyone, but it's the kind of like splashy thing that I think a lot of Orioles fans have been waiting for years.
It's about time.
Just take a cut. You know, I and this applies to the Orioles and the Ravens. You know, I don't think the fans will kill you for trying.
No.
If you make a big swing and you miss on it, I don't think the fans will kill you for that.
Nope.
I mean, I think we're at the point for both franchises where ambition, you know, going big is going to be rewarded with some fan appreciation.
Kyle Guhn, always great, man. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, three. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we get to John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta. We don't know the answer to the question, will they be back? But do we think they're going to be back? What is this castle going to look like when the dust settles? We'll discuss next here on The Fan. We're almost 5 o'clock here on a Tuesday and still nothing out of one winning
nothing
drive.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, so when the dust settles, John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta, do you feel like they're both – we're going to have a press conference with the two of them at some point, either late this week or early next week?
I guess. I mean, now, Bone, you were thoroughly convinced that this team was going to fire Harbaugh if they missed the playoffs, and absolutely if they somehow managed to go under 500.
I was.
Are you starting to crack?
I said in the open, I think
but
John's
I mean, that
back.
Was that was 4 hours ago.
Yeah, I think John's back.
Yeah,
I think he is. I think the further
3 hours ago.
Stand your ground, Bone.
Yes, the further we're
new
removed.
Audience.
Yes, the further we're removed from Sunday's game, I think the more likely that John is back. That's typically
and
how
primarily
these
because
work.
The billionaire is complacent and he's closer to Mike Brown than he is. I don't know, the guy who runs the Patriots or the guy who runs the Eagles or the Hunt who just embezzled billions out of Kansas.
Well, I think it's hard to say that there isn't an air of complacency in the organization if John's back, if Eric DaCosta's back. And at this point, I expect both of them to be back. I thought Eric would be back all along. I'm guessing the coordinators will not both be back. There has to be some move. There can't be nothing. You're not going to just run it back like you did last year in terms of the roster and the coaching staff. But with that being said, the question needs to be asked, like, if now, when? And this isn't a shot at John. I think John is a hell of a coach. I think John's going to be in Canton one day. I think John, if you would have told him back in 2008, Steve Bisciotti, him, everyone would have signed up for an 18-year run.
And he'll also get another job immediately, but none of that matters.
He'll get another job immediately.
And there's one open in the division in Cleveland.
Yes.
I wonder
there
if
is.
Wonder if that.
But
although you could, look, he's got term remaining. You could work out a deal with him and his agent that, look, we're going to let you out of this and that in exchange for this and that, but you can't, but no Cleveland, not this time.
Yeah.
You go to the Giants and 5 years after that, you want to go to Cleveland, we can't stop you. But while you're under this contract still with us.
They call that the Brett Favre.
And this is to say this is all on John because Eric needs to wear a ton of this. The players are all across the board, but in a year, even when Lamar was banged up and not himself, and he was not wearing the cape with the regularity that we've been accustomed to seeing, having a losing record in Lamar's peak is unacceptable. It's unacceptable across the board. And
except it might be acceptable to the billionaire.
That's why I said there's an air of complacency if everything stays the same.
So the biggest problem, if this plays out that way, would be where I've been pointing it the whole time. Silent Steve, and then the guy he hired to run the building every day because he's too busy counting his money on his yacht to be in the building. I would say it starts right there.
There's problems across the board, Jason. I don't know.
But if his response to this is,
oh no,
to his point, the buck stops there.
Yeah, it would be unacceptable, sure.
We would no longer like stop living this mythology that he's some great owner or like that he's really engaged or he really gives a damn. Because I think he told you exactly where his mind is when he spoke to the four people he let speak to him 3 years ago, and he said, "Give me the lease I want, or I'm selling the team." And he said, I'm not doing this forever, and I'm going to make a ton of money when I sell it, and I'm going to do it my way.
I'm not as critical at Steve as you are. I'm not saying Steve is infallible. The Ray Rice situation, the Justin Tucker situation, him not talking. There's a lot of things that you can point to, but Steve is reinvested into the stadium significantly.
And we've reinvested more.
Absolutely. He's reinvested into the facility.
Which is going to help him when he sells it for $6 billion and he bought it for $700. Like, that's not altruistic. It's an investment that's going to pay off in spades.
And while I agree with you in saying the $25 million that's a drop in the bucket.
Do one a year.
Not every billionaire is doing that.
Well, Melinda Gates is doing it. I mean, I can come up with it. You're right, not many. But, I mean, he's a bad owner, and he's got a bad football culture. And they're all complacent and overempowered. And if this plays out the way people think it's going to play out, they're showing you again.
I can't say he's a bad owner.
Andrew's over likely. I can. He's a bad owner.
He has won a Super Bowl since being the owner.
Great.
This organization has been one of the winningest organizations.
We can live in the past all we want.
You're right. I'm not saying
you want Mike Tomlin fired, but you're telling me this guy's not a bad owner. He's a bad owner.
I'm not saying Mike's a bad coach. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame one day, but he should be let go as well.
Hey, I'm not saying that I agree with Jason. He's a bad owner, but by that logic, Jim Irsay won a Super Bowl, and so did the guy in New Orleans, and they're terrible owners.
Totally. Would you say he's a bad owner?
I don't think he is what they think he is, but I wouldn't call him bad.
I think he lost his fastball about 5 years ago.
Saying losing fastball, I think I can.
And he's a bad owner. Look, there's a point in time I would have said he's a top five owner in the league, top 10 owner in the league. That's a long time ago.
Can't live in the past, Bone.
I'm not living in the past. I literally just said everything.
Coming up next.
Eric will fix it. Yeah. Eric will fix it all.
While the Ravens have announced nothing yet, there have been teams that have made moves. We'll get you updated on who is out of a job, what's going on in the National Football League. Plus, start previewing the playoffs. The Broncos, the one seed in the AFC. We'll hear from Sean Payton. It's League at Large next year on The Fan.